Blog Talk Radio.
Before I even got to talk, I already got Esther talking here. Good. Hey, everybody. This is Whirl with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. And right now, I'm in Irvine, California. Yes, Irvine. Irvine, as in Orange County, which is like south of Los Angeles, just to get where I am. And I'm at the Atrium Hotel, which is just across the street from the John Wayne Airport, which, by the way, is probably one of the cleanest airports I ever saw. One guy I was talking to told me they really cleaned it up. If there's a spot on the floor, they keep it clean. Ah, you could eat off the floor. No, well, maybe not eat off the floor, but it's really, really clean there. And so I'm at the hotel, and the weather, oh, it's gorgeous weather. Yeah, it's about like in the 70s. So much better than New York. And I can breathe, too, which is even nicer. And I'm going to have Dean Yamashita. Is that how you pronounce his name? Better than the way it's spelled. Yes. And he's a director of marketing, correct? Yes. No, I'm not talking. Actually, I'm talking to the chef here, Chris Reichel. Reichel? Reichel, okay. And he's with me. But we'll get to that later on. And so we're going to first gab about the hotel and then talk about the restaurant, and why it's particularly outstanding, because it's outstanding someplace. It's not even here. No, that's not true. And then we're also going to talk with the pastry chef and his Tyler Cota. Cota. I didn't pronounce that one right, as opposed to Tyler Cotta. Yeah, or Terracotta, right. Okay, and so that's what we're going to do today. And you know, of course, as I wait, as I'm waiting for Dean to call in, you know who the sponsor is, so where it goes.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
And, yes, you can get these absolutely wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. And as it turns out, they've come up with cookies. Okay. Now, I tried the cookies, and, of course, there was two kinds. There's double chocolate, and then there's a caramel pecan. Now, I'm not saying the caramel pecan is good. It's just I'm not into I'm a chocoholic. And so, you know, I have to go with the double chocolate. And the double chocolate is definitely the best chocolate cookie I've ever tasted. It really is. Well, it went very quickly when I got that. And I got both of both of the rubber chickens are here. Okay. Well, it was. Well, Eunice is upset because one of the things I had for lunch today was chicken, and she saw it, so she was a little upset. And then she read, I'll tell you later what she read on the menu. I'm threatening her on this to be good, otherwise there'll be a brick on her head. But in the meantime, okay, so we're not sure. You know how I always go through this thing here where there's people calling in, but forget, it's late, whatever. But so I'll start talking a bit about the Atrium Hotel. By the way, do you know enough about the hotel if we gave about it? I'll just ask you. Yeah. Why don't you go out to pick it up there? So the people don't think I'm talking to myself. Well, see, Chris is with me, and so I'm having him pick up the phone at the other end on the extension phone. Has this hotel been around for a while? By the way,
It was actually built in 1968.
Oh, it looks newish versus, you know, the older type hotel.
And it was one of the first hotels in this area.
Oh, okay. Come on in. Enter. Oh, yes. Here, my, what do you call it is here?
Your butterscotch delight.
Butterscotch
is here.
Pudding is here. Oh, yeah. That's, thank you so much. Leave it the way, yeah. Good night. He doesn't know he was on the radio. He has no idea. But that's okay. I should have introduced him. I should have just said, oh, here, go talk on the phone. He won't even notice. He wouldn't even notice on the radio. Okay. So basically, the hotel, it's so odd because it's like, from when you see it across the street from the airport, it stands out a bit because it's not like a Hyatt or a Hilton or, you know, that kind of structure. What would you call it? It's concrete? Would you call it adobe? What would you call this kind of structure? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I would say it's a concrete structure.
Concrete, yeah.
Stucco on the outside.
Yes, yeah, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of... Is that like Spanish style when they do that? When they do that kind of stuff? Is that a...
Not being an architect, I couldn't say exactly, but it's not really... I think it has more of a tropical...
Tropical. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the thing that's... well, the rooms are nice. Oh, the rooms... I'm in the executive suite here, poolside. Room is nice and clean and cozy and comfortable. I haven't slept in the bed yet, so I can't tell you about the bed. But you're sitting on the bed. How's the bed?
I've actually slept in this bed several times.
The same exact bed?
Yeah.
Well, look at that.
Having, you know, stayed at the hotel overnight when I've had, you know, quite a bit of work going on. And so I've stayed in this room, and it's quite a nice room.
Yeah. And it has not one but two entrances to the terrace here. Isn't that nice? So, like, you can close off the bedroom and go out into the terrace. And if somebody's sitting in the living room, you could stare at them from out there if you wanted to. And but the terrace here overlooks the pool area. And what's nice about this pool, they have these really nice pretty much enclosed cabanas for you to sit in. So when you have a group of people, and actually that's what we do. We had some bunch of writers here because tomorrow I'm going to be going to Catalina Island, and so there's supposed to be like 10 writers here, and so we're out there by the pool at the cabana and having drinks and noshing. We were having some horses' ovaries, you know, hors d'oeuvres, and we had actually some appetizers and salad from the waterfalls restaurant. And all delish. I don't know how many rooms are here, but I see there's board rooms, and plus rooms that you can get bored in. And they have, I guess, a lot of suites here, and a lot of not so sweet. They're semi dry, I think. It's nice. I like the space, especially like if you're at the pool, if you're overlooking the pool, at least like you're getting, I like that you can get some air, you know, other than just the air conditioning. I appreciate that, you know. It's not foggy here or anything. I don't, seems okay. And it's going to be a nice breeze. So I'll, you know, probably shut off the air conditioner. I would have the door open at the moment, but there's music and stuff going on out in the pool, and I don't want to interfere in the chatting here. So, well, I don't know what the story is with the Dean. And so just in case, if he doesn't call in, well, why don't I... I'm going to give him one. Look at that. Uh-oh, just as I say that. Wait. Come on, get back. I see that he's calling in. He's probably saying, Merle, I'm here. Right, here we go. Click it on. Let's see, this work. Dean, are you there? Try it again. Let's keep going. Come on, computer. Let's do this. Open up his mic. Come on. Let's go. I love this with this. Okay, come on, let's do this again. He's probably going, I'm here. Do you hear me now? Okay. Let's get this here. Let's try it again. Let's do this and one more time. Oh, no, I had it open. Didn't I have it open? Were you there, Dean?
Hello?
You're there, Dean.
You know? Okay. Hi there.
Are you
there? Yes, I'm here.
Can you hear me now?
I can. How are you today?
Oh, just fine.
Oh, good. Well, welcome to the hotel, I guess. Are you all checked in and settled there?
Oh, yeah, we're all checked in. Everybody, well, not all the writers. I haven't seen all of them yet. But they were all wondering. They expected to be greeted by somebody.
Oh, okay.
No one's came over to say, hi, writers. No, they sent They got a note, you know, a little piece of paper that said hello, that kind of thing.
You all get something in your room?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Yeah, I know that all of you are all kind of arriving at different times. So.
Yeah.
What time did you arrive to the hotel?
Oh, I got here around noon.
Oh, okay.
I've been here for a while. I had lunch. I did a tasting during lunch.
That's right. I know Chef had a tasting for you.
And Chris is here with me.
Oh, hi, Chef.
Hi, Dean.
How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
So we'll be talking about the restaurant in a little while. But by the way, I know you sent Godiva.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to tell you, after having Chris's chocolate cake. Well, that's Chris's. Well, I mean Tyler, right?
Mm-hmm. Was it not
then,
good?
No. Then you know Godiva is like compared to that chocolate cake. I'm sorry.
Well, no problem.
I'll exchange it for another piece of the chocolate cake. So.
Or you can exchange it. Yeah.
I'll exchange it for... Don't you have an Atrium T-shirt?
Okay. No, we don't.
Oh,
no.
I'm a big collector of T-shirts.
Oh, okay. No, we don't have one of those.
Okay. So, I gabbed a bit about the hotel.
Okay.
How many rooms are here? I didn't get
we
to
that. We have a total of 208 rooms.
Uh-huh. Of which, uh-huh. I guess the majority like regular rooms.
We have 16 suites, so I believe you're in an executive suite. So we have 208 rooms, and out of those 208, 16 of those are suites.
Uh-huh.
And then we have about 16,000 square feet of meeting and event space, which is quite large for a hotel that size.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was about to say, why didn't we have the Travel and Media Showcase here? But I just realized that's...
it's a great venue. I believe, did you all have cocktails and things out by the cabanas this afternoon?
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't. So I get drunk on Scotch tape.
Well, so that's also good space. So.
Yeah. So I had a mixture of orange juice, cranberry juice, and pineapple juice.
Okay.
It was really tasty.
Well, yeah.
And that did it for me. I was fine.
Okay.
But I like these cabanas.
Aren't they nice? Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
the,
I mean it's they're pretty elegant looking.
Mhm. Yeah. We utilize those quite a bit. I mean, we did quite a bit during the summer, as you can imagine, with different events at the pool. So that's probably one of the major focal points of the hotel, actually. Would probably be the pool space, the event space, and then probably just food. So we have a lot of cool events by the pool. So. Unfortunately, we didn't get to showcase it for the writers, but hopefully you'll kind of hang out there. And I know you're only here for one night. So
yeah.
See it today.
Well, I got pretty much of a sense because we were hanging there. I don't know if they're still there. They might be still outside.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, it was such a nice space. I was supposed to go to dinner, and it was such a nice space that we all wanted to just hang there. And
right.
Since we were able to have hors d'oeuvres, I said, "Oh, I'll just have hors d'oeuvres here, just to hang in there." Because they're comfortable. I mean, it's like when I think of a cabana, I think of like this, you know, the old kind of thing on a beach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think of these kind of things.
A little bit more, you know, they all have TV flat screens in them and their own sound systems. During certain events, we kind of utilize those as VIP cabanas sometimes as well. So they can be kind of, you can drop those canvas walls down so they can be private. So you have all kinds of fun in there.
Well, I also noticed that with the Wi-Fi, the free Wi-Fi here,
right.
That you could go to the pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And get
a lot of people use that for meetings, actually. They come and have lunch and hang out in the cabanas and conduct their meeting. So.
Well, that's a great idea. Yeah. If I had, actually, if there was a phone there, I could have done my radio show right at the cabana.
Mm-hmm. Well, next time you come, we can...
Yeah, we'll set something up.
Absolutely.
I also like the decor. The decor
okay.
of the hotel.
Of the hotel itself.
It's kind of
as you walk in, you kind of get a different feel. I guess it's tropical, kind of, I don't know what you call it, maybe Mediterranean. But once you're out by those cabanas, you kind of get a resorty feel. So,
yes, definitely.
Being that you would not think you're across the street from the airport. And, you know, one of the, I guess, things we tell our guests and our clients is even though you're across the street, you don't really hear any airplane noise.
I was going to say that. I mean...
We're not in the flight path, so you wouldn't think once you're in there...
Oh, is that why? You realize as you say that, we're going to hear a plane go over. Just purposely, you know.
Yeah,
that was interesting that you said that because that was something I had an expectation of like, oh, we'll never be able to hear each other because we'll be hearing the planes.
Yeah, so the planes take off and land on a different path. So even though we're across the street, you don't really hear them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, you got package deals here that you do?
We have certain packages you can find on the internet, you know, being close to the airport. We have Park and Fly, a lot of kind of our local business travelers around here sometimes will like to utilize that. So they'll, you know, stay overnight, park their car, and you know, discounted parking, and then come back, and things like that. We have different seasonal things. So we have a promotion going on with Travel Blue right now.
Yeah, I had noticed at the airport there was a lot of major airlines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I believe in the near future, I know one, they started opening up to Canada. So I think the target is eventually turn that into international gateway, so which will be good. So I know they're doing an expansion, and... they do have, I believe it's Air Canada coming in now. So that was the first international carrier to come
in. Oh,
good. Mm-hmm. So that'll open it up even more for international travel, which would be great.
So what's the, we got a website, right? You got a website?
Yes. www.atriumhotel.com is our website.
Okay.
And
now, I was looking to take home a souvenir. What do you call it?
T-shirt.
Bathrobe, but I don't see bathrobes.
No, we don't currently have those.
I really would have taken it home. I just didn't notice. Oh, no bathrobe. Okay. But you probably like what's an average like a price for a room?
Kind of a standard room.
Yeah.
Depending on the time of season and everything, the range is probably from about $99 to about $139.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Hmm. Yeah. And if you're traveling with a group or holding events here, we'll always kind of give you discounted rates on those rooms. That's kind of the range of the rooms itself.
Well, did I miss anything about the hotel to talk about?
I talked about
the structure that it's, you know, made of.
Structure
like
from...
Like a concrete stucco.
Concrete stucco, kind of Mediterranean. I mean, the way it's positioning... positioned, it's kind of an urban oasis in the middle of that Irvine. Irvine has a lot of business community, so there's an Irvine business corridor, and I know you guys will probably see the destination as the week goes on, but you have the airport right across the street, which is great. You have Newport Beach, probably about 5 to 10 minutes away, which is kind of a world-class beach. I know the Irvine Chamber is not going to want me to be talking about the other destinations, but the Irvine area is really in great proximity to all these different destinations. You have Costa Mesa and South Coast Plaza, which is a very, very popular shop. They don't like me to call it a mall. They call it a shopping destination with a lot of great restaurants and shops. So that's, you know, about maybe 5 minutes away, and all of this is accessible. We have shuttle service. And then Disneyland.
Yes, I should tell you what happened, by the way. Where they list the shuttle service, apparently there's a list, there's a small list and a large list.
Oh, really? Okay.
And you're not on the small list. And one of the writers said she couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
She said she walked because she couldn't find it.
The South Coast Plaza?
Well, I guess you have to make sure that it's obvious that there's a shuttle.
Yeah, actually the shuttle's kind of on request shuttle, so
I guess you have to let the guests know that it's on request or, you know.
Okay.
I mean, I saw it on the first list, which it had like only four or five. I didn't see it, but then there was this long list of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we just called and got the shuttle over.
Okay. Yeah, I know if you call and make arrangements with the front desk, it should be able to arrange that for you.
Yeah.
So
well, I'm ready to talk about the restaurant.
Okay.
That's because I'm sitting here with this absolutely delicious butterscotch pudding.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Chef Chris does some great work, and I'm sure you'll enjoy that. So probably he makes it and I eat it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let you go then.
Okay. I appreciate you calling in.
Well, it was a pleasure talking to you. Enjoy your week. I'm sure I'll see you sometime during the week. They're having all kinds of different functions for the writers, so I believe I'll be at those. So hopefully I'll run into you.
Are you going to... Yeah, there's one function that we're having, and it says something about we're going to the... Wait, what is that motor place? Kia? No. What's the motor?
Yeah, Kia. I believe Kia? It's Kia Motor. Mm-hmm.
And it says something about a bunch of restaurants are going to be represented. I wasn't clear whether we're actually going to these local restaurants or the chefs or whatever are coming there.
I believe the Kia, I think that's Wednesday night, so I think that's at their facility. So I would think some of the local restaurants are coming out and just kind of doing a showcase tasting where you're able to taste some of the food. I'm not sure what restaurants are coming out.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to go talk about this one.
Okay. Well, enjoy your stay.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dean. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And have a great evening.
Okay. Bye, Chef.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yes. Okay, so it's time to get to... Now, first I want to comment that I had gone online and saw the menu for the restaurant, an old menu, and it was like all these Asian stuff and whatever, and I thought, wow. And then I got the menu today, and I'm saying to the guy, is this just the lunch menu? Is there a different dinner menu? And he said no, and I was wondering what happened. Now, so what I was looking at, though, I was looking at the what I guess called the meat and potatoes kind of stuff, the burgers and things like that. However, here's where we get that word umami, because I did a tasting and I had some absolutely wonderful dishes. So, but first, Chris, I want to talk about, let's go into, like, how long have you been at this place?
I started about 16 months ago. And
but who's counting?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
A good friend of mine who I've done a lot of work in the past with is the vice president of food and beverage for the company, because we have more than one hotel actually in the company that I work for. And he asked me if I had an interest in coming over here because there was a position, and I thought it would be great for he and I to work together again.
And now, so this is like before you came here, that was the menu that I was looking at. That's that's what I was looking at prior to you coming here?
Yeah, I would say it was the menu maybe before the chef that I replaced, actually.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, somebody needs to update.
Yeah, we need to work on that.
Well, I don't think the menu I didn't actually get from the website of the hotel.
Right.
I don't know. You know how they have the menu online things or things like that. So that's
right,
where I got it from.
Exactly. That's so, what I figured you did.
Yeah. But what I found, what I did have, I mean, wow, the things that really, really tasty. Where did you? So you went to the
French Culinary Institute in New York City on Grand and Broadway.
Uh huh. And what is that? What influenced the menu that you have now?
Well, that was quite some time ago. So that would have been in 1989 that I graduated from there. And, you know, I've had many different jobs and experiences pretty much all over the United States. So that's kind of honed my different abilities. And I think what we've done here with the menu is because we have so many dynamics going on, we have quite a bit of business travel, so we have to kind of tailor a menu that will be appealing to them. And then we have a kind of diverse clientele from around the area who come to dine in the restaurant for lunch and dinner. So then we have to have some items that will appeal to them as well. And then we have our own staff eating. You know, the upper staff will eat in the restaurant, some of them every day. So we have to keep them entertained and interested as well. And also, if we are entertaining potential clients to come and stay at the hotel or have events here, we need to have something that will appeal to them as well. And we can sort of showcase what we do in the small microcosm in the restaurant so that we can get them to want to come to the hotel, obviously, and stay.
Right.
So there are a lot of things going on, and I didn't bother to, you know, let you try the hamburger or the pastrami or things like that, even though we take special care in doing those dishes to upgrade them and make them our own.
Yeah.
And more special than the average sandwich you might find like that. You know, we make our own homemade Russian dressing. We buy the best pastrami that we can buy. Things like that. Use Kobe beef for the burger.
Yeah, do you use like local products as far as like produce and things like that?
Yeah, we have several produce companies, and most of the produce companies that exist in Southern California and Northern California have access to all the small organic farms. And so anytime you want to purchase something of a special nature, that's always available. So, yes, we do use that quite a bit. I entertain a lot for the owners of the hotel, and they like to do, nice entertaining parties for their friends, and so we do a lot of that as well.
So. And now, do you have like a different catering menu?
Oh yeah, we have quite an extensive banquet menu. That is, I think it's 45 or 50 pages long. So there's every imaginable cuisine being done with that. So, you know, you can kind of pick and choose whatever strikes your fancy. And then also we do customized things as well, which I've been doing a lot over the last year.
So in other words, which of course I wouldn't have gotten to taste, like if I had something, you know, different, I mean, you know, off the menu.
Right, right. I mean, that's where the specials, we have a couple of lines on the menu that basically just say that there'll be chef specials of the day. And so those things are constantly changing. And one of those is a fresh fish of the day. And another is some sort of a meat dish. So we keep that really fresh and always changing. And we get to try new things that way and keep the customers who come here regularly interested as well.
What was the fresh fish of the day?
We had an opakapaka today, which is a pink snapper from Hawaii.
Oh, wow. I missed that. Yeah, I had that. Actually, I had, what's the guy's name? Roy Yamaguchi? Roy's Restaurant?
Right.
Yes, and that was interesting because it was Hawaiian food, but it wasn't, you know, and the thing about that was getting all this fish from Hawaii.
Roy's a very talented chef, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where I got to taste the things like that.
Right.
Wow, that's great. Maybe we can have that for breakfast. No, I get, what is it, salmon I get for breakfast? Because I get a Japanese.
Are you going to have Japanese breakfast tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, you can have either that or you can have a dry horse mackerel if it strikes your fancy. Those are the two options for the fish.
Did you say dry horse mackerel?
Correct. Yeah. It's a Japanese favorite. But you have to have a taste for that. So.
I think I'd have the salmon.
Probably a better way to go.
And what else? I'm curious, and what else is in the Japanese breakfast?
It's a traditional Japanese breakfast. And so that we're serving, obviously, rice. We serve...
And what kind of rice do you use? I'm curious.
It's a Calrose. We steam it fresh every day.
Mm-hmm.
We have dry seaweed to go along with that. We have some of the pickled cucumber and pickled daikon. We also serve fish cake with that. We have the salted salmon or the horse mackerel. You have a choice between the two as the fish course. And we have the slightly sweet or sweetened small Japanese little omelet that we do fresh. And we also serve that with miso soup cooked that day as well.
Wow. That would be very interesting instead of bacon and eggs, huh?
Yeah, it's very nice for the Asian travelers, and we actually have some Caucasian travelers that will opt to have that breakfast as well, just out of curiosity sometimes.
Yeah, great. Well, I'll be one of them. We'll see if the other writers will we'll do that.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So what I want to do now is I want to go to the what I had for dinner, mm-hmm. because we were talking about this. This new flavor that Kikkoman soy sauce had been pushing now, called umami.
Right.
It's like a flavor in its own. And it's kind of like, I think what they say about it, it's like it's something that enhances by putting in certain flavors, that enhances the flavors of everything. So you're getting more than just sweet, sour, or, you know, whatever you're...
Takes it to another height,
so to
speak. Yeah.
And that's why I thought what was great was what I had was kind of in that category.
Thank
so
you.
We start off, first I had this, you call it the meat salad, is that what it is?
An Asian beef salad.
Asian beef salad, yeah. And please describe what was in it while I drool.
Well, it's quite extensive, actually. I'll start with the protein that goes with it, which is a hanger steak. We take 2-ounce pieces of that, and we do a Asian marinade with mirin and some brown sugar and soy sauce, ginger and garlic, and a little bit of sesame oil. And we go ahead and grill that off. And while that's grilling, in the salad station, we put together all the cold ingredients, which are a pancit noodle, an Asian style of noodle, along with fresh mango, fresh avocado. There is an assortment of greens, along with fresh herbs, those being cilantro and fresh mint, which are all picked. Right.
That's the one. I'm saying, as I'm eating, I'm going, there's something else, there's something I'm tasting, and I can't catch what it was.
Well, it gives it a really fresh
and
pleasant taste that's not something that you'd have all the time. Once again, there's some Napa cabbage, there's some julienne of carrot in there, and then roasted peanuts with toasted coconut. And then it has a very unique dressing, a vinaigrette of which Thai sweet chili is the base of it. And it's spicy, as you recall, but also sweet, and it has a really nice balance and contrast with all the fruit and the coconut and the fresh herbs. I think it's quite a nice salad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah, everybody certainly liked it down the...
At the Cabanas.
Yeah, at the Cabanas, that's for sure. Okay, so then there was this...
The chicken.
The... and why is it brick chicken? So how is that?
Well, it's actually it's a cooking technique done in Italy. Actually, is where I recall it coming from, and it's a actual brick which is covered with foil. You know, we change the foil every day, and the purpose of the brick is there are two reasons. One is to quicken the cooking time and also to seal in the juices in the chicken. And we use a baby chicken, a poussin, which we get from a organic farm in Northern California. And we finish it with a harissa, which is a North African chili, into the panju. And it's a very, very tasty and unique dish, I think.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Then there was the lamb shank. Is that what it was?
Yeah, that was one of the chef's specials. These are miniature lamb shanks from Colorado, a domestic lamb. And it was done with a classic mirepoix, just with carrots and celery and onions, some fresh thyme and garlic, and braised in red wine, along with some brown chicken stock. And because the lamb is so strong, you know, the broth will pick up that lamb taste anyway. So, and then those juices were just reduced. And that was the sauce.
And, of course, you have to, it's not the best part of it, but the marrow.
Of course.
No, of course. It's like when you have asabuca.
Exactly. Very tasty.
And then then we have one more item.
Yeah, you had the, what we try to keep some vegetarian dishes on the menu, and this is one of those options, and we did... fettuccine for you with wild mushrooms, which included porcinis, morels, oysters, and lobster mushrooms. And then that's finished with a little bit of cream and with goat cheese.
That was so good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
By the way, as we're talking, I'm...
Having a little butterscotch pudding?
I have to tell you something. And this is really honestly. I'm not one for butterscotch pudding because I always find it, it's got this over-sweetness.
Right.
This is like the best butterscotch pudding I have ever tasted.
I think Tyler does a nice job.
Oh, yeah. When he should be calling in pretty soon.
Yeah, he texted me just a little while ago, so he should be calling about 8:45.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, wow. Yeah, I will definitely talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point, the thing is that if you're not, like, into the hamburger kind of stuff.
Right.
There's still items on the menu that are, not to say more, it's more, if you're into more flavors,
sure.
Like, you know, like I am, I like gourmet food and,
right.
You know, things like that. So they're definitely like, is enough to have here on the menu. As a matter of fact, let's see if I can open up his microphone. Here we go. Okay. You know, I think we got Tyler here now, don't
okay.
we? Tyler, you there?
Absolutely. How are you, Meryl?
Oh, just fine. I was just talking about the butterscotch pudding.
How did you like it?
I am, like, amazed. I am not one to have butterscotch pudding. And I was commenting because I find it, like, it's just too sweet.
Okay.
This is, like... I wouldn't, you know, if you didn't tell me what it was, I really wouldn't be clear that it was butterscotch. It's almost, because it just doesn't have, it's almost like, no, not creme brulee. The pudding itself is very light. And the flavor is, it's definitely not like sugary.
No, no. When you caramelize the brown sugar, you definitely lose a certain amount of the sweetness on it. But you also, that's how you get the flavor of it.
So what I wanted to, I want to talk about the items that I had. That carrot cake. The one that you're not allowed to reveal.
Under penalty of death.
Yeah.
Our pastry chef's baby. He loves that thing.
Yeah, that's, but I have to say, this is the thing that I liked about it.
Okay.
It was definitely enough carrots. It didn't have that, like, over cinnamon, what is all those stuff? The cinnamon and...
Nutmeg.
And
usually a little bit of clove. And it usually, you know, in my experience, a lot of the time people overdo it, so it ends up tasting more like a spice cake than a carrot cake.
Yeah, so that's why I like this one, and it was a cream cheese.
100% cream cheese frosting.
Yes, you don't get that much, too much of that anymore.
No, a lot
it's
of the
like
time
it, they get... Once I taste that it's not totally a cream cheese frosting, then it just kills the whole cake. It just because that's really part of it. That I think that brings it out.
I concur 100%.
And then there was the... We'll get into the chocolate in a minute.
Okay.
But then, the key lime cheesecake.
Yes.
Well, first let's explain the cheesecake itself. It's how would you describe that?
Well, it's a little bit denser of a cheesecake. It's not like a New York style cheesecake. It's more like a J.A. Rosen cheesecake, where it's a little bit more denser than creamy. I think it gives it a little bit more texture. And then we also use our lime sugar, which we get from, you know, zesting key limes and then mixing it with sugar and then drying it back out in the oven. And that gives it that really distinct flavor. So you also, in the middle of it, you get that nice creaminess, but you also get the hints of lime that really add to it.
Now you're using key limes for this, right?
Correct.
Because sometimes they get away with using regular lime and it just misses it. I find when they do that, I find like too much citrus, too citrusy, acidy.
Yes.
Acid, you know, too much acid when they try
acid
with a regular lime. But this is And that was real whipped cream on the top, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. My little twist on whipped cream is I like to use brown sugar for it instead of using regular sugar or powdered sugar. I think, you know, the little hints of molasses and brown sugar give it a little bit more richer taste, and I think it tastes better.
Okay. Now, I'm curious about with the pudding. And when you make pudding, like what goes into making pudding? Like when you make it?
Okay, well, we use like a real classical French recipe, you know, where we start off with caramelizing the brown sugar and the butter to really develop the flavor. And then instead of using like a cornstarch or anything, we actually use egg yolks, like a creme brulee, you know, but we stir it over a double boiler to keep it from, you know, scalding or curding. And then the final set, to just give it that little bit of texture, we add just a little bit of gelatin in there. And that's what gives it that nice, smooth creaminess.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering why this, what made it so, like, rich. Not disgustingly rich, but you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
All right, now let's go to the cake. I already told Dean. I mean, Dean was saying, asked me if I liked the gift package. You know, and then he mentioned about the Godiva chocolates, and I apologized. I said, after having your cake, chocolate cake, you know, this, like, the Godiva's not going to taste good anymore.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
That is, like, some perfect chocolate cake. Explain the cake itself.
Okay, well, we start off on the base of it using Calbo 811 NV chocolate. We make a flourless chocolate cake, and we bake it in the oven, take it out, let it cool, and then we make a, you know, traditional, you know, French-style chocolate mousse, except for I just add a little bit more chocolate in there to give it a little bit more density than lightness, I guess is the best way to describe it. So it has a little bit more texture into it, and we pour it on top, we let it set, and that's really about it.
That is so great. It's so tasty. And it's not sweet, you know what I mean? It's not...
Oh, definitely using a quality chocolate, you know, that's not super sweet, definitely helps it a lot. You know, you get that rich, bold flavors of chocolate without super sugary, just to kind of, you know, ruin it for you.
When you're doing, like, when we're doing catering menus, I mean, other than, like, the typical thing like a cake, do you come out with any particular desserts that you use for that, you know, that you might want to put on this menu, or?
Oh, absolutely. We try to, you know, definitely talk with our catering department, or the Cheryl, who's in charge of booking the events, and we work hand-in-hand with her to, you know, get menus and definitely, you know, try to, you know, do exactly what the customer wants. A lot of the time, you know, you'll get special requests. Well, we would like, you know, a fresh fruit tart or a berry tart. And, you know, then you know, that's what we do, you know, because the customer wants it.
We experiment a lot.
Yeah. Is there one like that you're on, like you're being creative the way you have these? That goes on that type of menu, offhand that you can think of.
Absolutely, during with the seasons changing, it gives us a lot of freedom to do, you know, what fruit and what produce and is per season. So during the wintertime, a lot of, you know, we'll get more things involving apples and pears for desserts. You know, we'll get to make like a pear almond tarts. You know, and during the later part of the winter, we start getting to play around with more chocolate and using nuts, and, you know, it definitely gives us that freedom to have fun and experiment.
Now, I'm going to ask the both of you, I guess, how often does the menu here change by the season?
Yes. Four times a year, usually.
So, but do you, like, have the, in other words, you have your certain staples that you have, and then just certain things change?
Yeah, we utilize the POS system to tell us what's selling and what isn't, but we have certain staples that have stayed on there since I've been here, and then you know, we will try new things and see if they work. And if they don't, we have the option to change the menu weekly if we want to. So.
Oh, okay. But so, okay, so in other words, that the menu I'm talking about now may not be here when someone else comes here.
Some of the items will be different, but the sandwiches and things tend not to change a whole lot because those are sandwiches that we know are already working
right.
and are popular. But we're presently working on a fall menu right now.
But you'll always have specials, so.
Yes.
Absolutely. Specials definitely give us the opportunity to, you know, be creative and to see if an idea actually works, which is really nice.
So, for instance, now, Tyler, would you, if I was here, 6 months later, would I get different desserts?
Absolutely. We try to change those seasonally as well. We try to change the menu, you know, at least 4 times a year to try to optimize product per season.
But there always will be chocolate.
Yeah, so you'll
always
have
to worry about that.
Okay, you'll always have that. Is it that? Is there any one of the four that I've tried that always stays on the menu?
Definitely
carrot
the carrot cake.
Yeah.
as soon as I said that, I went, probably the carrot cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well, so is there a way to get see the menu online, or there isn't right now?
It should be on the webpage, but I couldn't tell you for sure if it is. I'm going to definitely check into that tomorrow and make sure that it is.
Yeah, because I didn't see that. What is it was? I didn't see any kind of link.
I know what's on as far as a menu are the banquet menus.
Right. Okay.
So you can see all of those.
Yeah.
Which we just recently changed about 3 months ago. So those are all the new menus that were done. As far as the restaurant menu, it may or may not be on there, but I think it probably should be if it's not.
Oh, of course. So. Well, I appreciate. God, this is so good.
Well, it was our pleasure having you.
Oh yeah, this is. I'm pleasantly surprised. Because as I said, I looked at the menu and going, oh, what happened to the one I was looking at? But with the things I tasted, umami. That's yeah, umami, your daddy, whatever it is. So.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, and thank you both. I was going to say thank you both for calling in, but Chris, you're right over here.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Tyler, for calling in.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Yeah. And, have a great evening. And
you as well.
Yeah, and you'll see my article.
Wonderful. We look forward to it.
Okay.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Good evening. Bye.
Bye. That was really, really great. So, yes, people. So it's time. Yes, it's time to end the show. Well, tomorrow I'm going to be doing a show from, where am I going? Catalina Island. And heavens knows what I'm going to talk about then. But until tomorrow, have a great day, evening, or whatever you have there.